Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in steamy downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us. You can always call, you can text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio going to be joining us coming up at 10:33. Stick around for that. We're going to kick around a number of different things, including Milwaukee is a horrible city.
It really is. But
it just is. And Ron Johnson, of course, weighing in on that as well. So that's coming up at 10:33. Next hour, we are going to do a round of the good, the bad, and please tell me that's not true. It's been a while. And then to wrap up the show from 11:30 to about 11:50, the Surgeon General wants to put warning labels on social media. And whether or not that is a good or a bad thing, whether or not that's actually necessary, I don't think that's a bad thing.
I mean, that's not something that I believe doesn't need to be entertained. It's something to talk about. I don't know all the details as far as like where they want to take it, but they've done it for cigarettes. They've done it for movies. They've done it for music. And so
shouldn't be surprised, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Wanted to start off though. The former president and now convicted felon Donald Trump will be in the city of Racine today. Doors will open at 11 a.m. So in little under an hour at a festival hall in Racine. The former president is scheduled to speak at 3 o'clock. This marks Donald Trump's first visit to Wisconsin since he was convicted in the hush money trial. It was really about falsifying business records. That's what it was.
Yes,
it wasn't so much about
the
hush money payment. But there are no full road closures planned, but police do expect delays at intersections and restricted parking in the downtown area. So if you live in Racine around Festival Hall, it's going to be very busy. Rotary Park Drive is going to be shut down between 5th and 6th Streets. 5th Street will be closed from Lake Avenue to Festival Hall. The Lake Avenue ramp will be accessible from Lake Avenue, not from 5th. A peaceful protest planned for Monument Square. Local law enforcement will be there to ensure safety and manage traffic flow. Donald Trump's last appearance in Wisconsin was here in Waukesha. He stopped in May.
Yeah.
So again, Donald Trump going to be speaking at Festival Hall in Racine today. Doors open at 11 a.m. with the former president expected to speak at 3 p.m. So just want to give you a heads up. If you're in that area, it's going to be very busy. Lots of Secret Service and SUVs and dark windows.
And it's not a big area either. It's very like very two-way road.
Concentrated.
It's downtown, but it's also very, it's if you don't need to be there, don't go there.
Yeah, it's going to be like any time we have an official visit like this, it's a pain in the neck.
Oh,
it just is for locals who have to get around. So
yeah.
Before we start talking about California guy, axe throwing, lake sitting, Eric Hovde, I did want to share that we have our winners.
Oh, yes, indeed.
From our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest. It wrapped up on Friday. We want to thank everybody who texted in and took part in it. We had so much fun. Calvin, can we have a drum roll, please? Congratulations to our two grand prize winners, Tori in Kewaunee and Tammy in Baraboo. Well done, and congratulations. They get to pick where they want to go on their staycation. There was Fort Atkinson, Lake Geneva, and Door County, so they get to pick where they would like to go for their staycation, and we even gave them gas cards to get there and back, so hopefully we'll have more of these. It was a ball.
I really would suggest to our winners, pick the pontoon boat.
Yeah, go with the pontoon. That was Fort Atkinson.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in Fort Atkinson. All right. Yes, Eric Hovde. Interestingly enough, this article was in Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah. When Rolling Stone reports on Wisconsin, I'm always like, oh God, company can see it. They can see our the dirt and the trash. Ugh.
And this is actually from February, the end of February of this year, a story by Tessa Stewart. The headline reads, GOP Senate candidate waged a decades-long campaign to kill a beloved dive bar. Yes, she's talking about California guy, lake sitting, axe throwing Eric Hovde and his family. The bar is the Silver Dollar, which apparently was the oldest family-owned bar in Madison. The Silver Dollar Tavern became a beloved institution. Apparently, everybody from fancy schmancy people to not so fancy schmancy people, everybody kind of met there. Lots of politicians met there. It was a storied place.
Mm-hmm.
And the Humpties have been trying to kill it for about 25 years.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I know the Silver Dollar. I've been there a few times, but I did not realize that it was on the bullseye of the Hoofde family.
One longtime bartender said that on their last night in business, quote, everyone from the gutter to the governor's office, unquote, was comfortable at the Silver Dollar. Over 9 decades, it hosted meet cutes, multiple celebrations of life. One former resident recalled finally he and his brother were practically raised there. And in come the Humpties.
Yep.
Humpty Properties. Of course, Eric Humpty is the CEO of Humpty Properties, challenging Wisconsin's junior senator Tammy Baldwin for her seat. His father, Don, first sought to buy and demolish the Silver Dollar Tavern more than a century ago. Century would have been a really long time.
How old is his dad?
Man, he's old, and he looks good for that, for being 907.
That's what happens when you sit in lakes.
A quarter century ago, after he successfully bought the block's 4 other buildings. And at the time, so the Silver Dollar held out. They didn't want to sell.
Yep.
And at the time, Don Humpty likened it to the challenge of diplomatic efforts in the Middle East. Trying to get the owner to sell to him was, he equated that to diplomacy efforts in the Middle East.
Yeah, okay.
He told the Wisconsin State Journal at the time, can the president put a peace accord together with the Israelis and Palestinians? That's a much more global issue, but negotiations are a very tender thing. So you have to be careful when you're in a state of negotiation.
I don't want to see this guy's office or what if he's still around. I mean, this, if you equate yourself to that situation overseas against a dive bar in Madison, oh, your stories have got to be terrible.
The then co-owner of the bar, Bill Teasdale, said at the time the reason he didn't sell was because it was a low ball offer.
Yeah.
What we have is 25 years of putting into this business, and then he comes around and just wants to give us some walking around money. So the owner wouldn't sell, setting off what many locals called a years-long pressure campaign to get them to sell. In 2000, Humpty Properties sought permission to tear down all the buildings around the Silver Dollar Tavern and build a parking lot. Local officials rejected it because it was viewed as an effort to force the Silver Dollar owners to cave in.
Mm-hmm.
I think they wanted to get everything else knocked down to just leave us hanging, the co-owner said at the time. So in the years that followed, what do you think that the Humpty Company did? Did they fluff up the 4 buildings that they bought? Did they help that downtown area, that one block, to bring some new businesses in there and bring new life to the area? No.
Yeah.
In the years that followed, Humpty Properties kept the buildings vacant as the company frequently floated and abandoned plans for the block, including one to build a new museum for the state's historical society. In a recent interview, again, this is all in Rolling Stone magazine, Humpty claimed that that museum project didn't go forward for political reasons. Blaming Governor Evers.
Of course, when something doesn't go your way, it's Tony Evers' fault. They'll be blaming him in 30 years.
The empty buildings blighted the block. Ultimately getting complaints from city inspectors, the buildings weren't being properly maintained. State Journal reported in 2019, the strip of buildings acquired by Humpty more than 20 years ago and long held vacant for redevelopment made the area uninviting as a pedestrian thoroughfare, especially at night, plagued with negative and criminal behavior. And then suddenly in November, Chuck Teasdale, who's the 4th generation owner of the bar, confirmed he was closing it and that Humpty Properties had an option to buy it. He declined to disclose the terms of the deal, citing a non-disclosure agreement. So after 25 years of trying, Humpty's real estate company finally announced plans to demolish the Silver Dollar. And the company has not said what it will do with the location.
And they're demolishing it right now.
Yeah.
They're tearing it down. This, you know, I think, I don't want to romanticize it too much, but I think one of the things in Wisconsin, we were talking really lovely about Wisconsin yesterday, the things we love, the things you and Todd saw on your trip.
Yep.
And one of the things that is close to our hearts are our taverns, our dive bars. for good or for worse, yes, yeah, some kids were raised in those bars. They have memories in there. And I would think the Hufdies would understand that there is some benefit in maybe not keeping it the same way, but having that business there, saying we are part of a multi-generational tradition of bars here and businesses. But no, and not only did they tear it down as soon as the ink was dry on the paper, they kept buildings empty and unkempt and possibly dangerous
for decades
just because they could. And I posed the question to you earlier about this. Eric Hovde and his family, if they're willing to do nothing about this block, leave it empty, leave it cold, and that serves no purpose, what's Eric Hovde going to do to Wisconsin if he gets here?
What kind of care is he going to treat the rest of us with?
Yeah, because he doesn't seem to care about Wisconsin. He's barely here.
Well, and obviously he doesn't, as you said, I think we do have a very long tradition of kind of cherishing these old establishments.
Yeah.
When Todd and I were in Eau Claire, we went to the Amber Inn, which is like the oldest bar in Eau Claire. Yeah. It is storied. I just think it's tragic.
I mean, here in Waukesha, downtown on Main Street, Lombardi's, right where the house I was born in, my parents would go to that bar all the time. And I don't have any memory of that. But when we went there for the first time that I can remember, my parents walked in and they were greeted like welcoming heroes. They were like, "You're back. Where you been?"
It's cheers.
It's our culture. It's our legacy. And to just knock it down with no sense of pride, with no sense of anything, it just speaks to Eric Hovde that he's about the almighty dollar and not about Wisconsin, period.
All right, then. I think we put a period on it. 855-752-4842. Not that Eric Hovde was going to get many votes in Madison anyway. Probably.
He lost that silver dollar vote.
But he's probably really not going to get any votes now. You can always join us, call or text, leave a comment on the live stream. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. And welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us wherever you are across the state, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We wrapped up our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest and want to congratulate our grand prize winners, Tori and Kiwani and Tammy in Baraboo. They get to select where they want to go for their staycations. And we had a whole bunch of other winners, too. We had the daily winners, of course, and then we had the Dell's prize packages. Mike from River Falls picked up one of those. Andy from Madison got one of those Dell's prize packs. And then we had Brewers tickets. Charles from Rubicon and David from Racine with Brewers Club level seats. So lots and lots of winners. I hope you guys had a lot of fun with this. We certainly had a lot of fun.
And honestly, it's, you know, even though we had the competition going and whatnot, and that was really fun. It was rigged. The point is, what I really loved about it, and even though it was could seem as simply as I'm entering a contest, those were hundreds of people. We're reaching people. We're talking to people. We're hearing from you. You like some of you call in, some of you text, some of you email us, and we love to hear from you because that is the mission of this network, is to connect with you. And I guarantee of those entries we got, some of you don't agree with us. Some of you do. Some of you have thoughts on the things we say, but at the end of the day, you're listening and we love hearing from you. So please don't stop.
Yeah, it was always fun to see the text start coming in.
Yeah.
It really was.
I had to take my watch off while I was out sick. Because
it was binging so much.
I'm like, oh, someone's talked about a giveaway.
Ding, 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 yep. Ding, 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 ding. Yes, thank you very much for that. And again, congratulations to everybody who won I hope you had a good time, and I hope you have a good time on your staycations and the games and your Dell's prize pack and all those things.
And please, 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 please.
Oh, yeah, take pictures.
Pretty please take pictures. You can text them in through the Civic Media app. You can email them to us at janesays@civicmedia.us. Sorry, I almost forgot that. But we want to know what's going on. We want to know the fun you're having, especially the baseball game.
Oh,
we love seeing the baseball games. But whatever you're doing because of this contest, we'd love to see it and know that you're having a good time.
Absolutely. And then we get to kind of live vicariously through you a little bit as well.
I know.
I'm going to talk about this briefly because I think it's a big deal.
Absolutely.
And certainly for the 175,000 people who live in Maryland. Maryland Governor Wes Moore issued a mass pardon of more than 175,000 marijuana convictions on Monday morning. That is one of our country's most sweeping acts of clemency involving a drug that is now in widespread recreational and medical use.
Mm-hmm.
So this pardon in Maryland forgives low-level possession charges for an estimated 100,000 people in what the governor said is trying to heal decades of social and economic injustice, particularly for Black and brown people.
Yeah.
Criminal records have been used to deny housing, employment, education, holding people and their families back long after their sentences have been served. And these were low-level marijuana possession charges.
Yeah, these weren't kingpins.
No, we're not talking about coke, and we're not talking about crack.
We're not talking about cartels.
No.
Yeah. It's the thing we've been talking about for decades now that, you know, the same thing happened in Illinois, too. When they legalized marijuana, the governor, he signed, he pardoned, expunged, released all these individuals who fell under the same purview of low-level criminals. I don't even like calling them criminals. Low-level offenses. Because they're not criminals. They got caught with a little bit of weed in their pocket. They shouldn't be going away for 10 years. And then after that, paying for the rest of their lives.
Well, and didn't all of these... really harsh sentences come under three strikes and you're out.
A lot of them came under three strikes, you're out. A lot of them came under mandatory minimums.
Right.
And those, as you know, when we talk about mandatory minimums, you cannot deny the fact that the drugs are not treated the same and how they affect certain individuals versus coke versus crack versus marijuana. They have an effect and they affect Black and brown people. And to say otherwise is just wrong. And what they're doing in Maryland, I think, is fantastic. And if as much as I love it, it makes me sad for Wisconsin
that we don't have legalized.
We don't have legalized marijuana. We seem to be kicking the can down the field. You know, Robin Voss really, really tried with his marijuana legalization bill this year that failed miserably and would have created more bureaucracy.
Yeah.
More government.
Yeah.
And yet in this, and I don't know anything about this. Maybe a resident young person, Cal, can speak to this. You know, we have what's called Delta 8, Delta 9. Those mm-hmm. are like strains. I don't know anything about these things, but what I've been told is that they get you high and there are other ways of getting high in this state. So why not stop the worst kept secret in the state and just open it up? Let the tax money flow. Get those people off the rolls of being quote-unquote criminals. Do what Maryland and Illinois are doing.
Yeah. Nine other states have done this. Other states and multiple cities have already pardoned hundreds of thousands of old marijuana convictions, according to the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Yeah.
Legalized marijuana markets reap billions in revenue for state governments every year. Polls show public sentiment on the drug has also turned more people embracing cannabis use and repudiating racial disparities exacerbated by the war on drugs.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that thing when we talk about guns and, you know, 75-80% plus people are, background checks. Yes. Red flag laws. When people talk about abortion, a great number of Americans are like, yes, there should be access to abortion. Healthcare. It's called healthcare. This is one where people are almost saying, wait a minute, weed isn't like... When comedians come through to the tap and they will ask the audience, is weed legal in Wisconsin? The resounding no comes in three emotions: anger, sadness, and just like laughing shock that they didn't know in the first place. Because we, you know, it's almost embarrassing.
Well, we're an island.
We are
an island.
Iowa's outdoing us.
I know.
Love you, Iowa. Love Slipknot, but Iowa's got legal weed. We don't.
Well, and again, you know, we've talked about this before, and I certainly understand why some people don't want to see this happen here. But it's my understanding that what some of the other states that are, that do have legalized weed, they are putting aside some money for counseling.
Yes.
And programs for people who need treatment.
Yes.
Who might become addicts. And because some people claim that marijuana is a gateway drug to other drugs.
I'm sorry. I personally don't believe that. There's not the science to make me believe that. That doesn't mean that people don't have the experience of themselves, their child, their friends going from one to the next to the next. I understand that leads you to the belief of that. But then, yes, don't allow other people not to access this because of a few cases. Let's bolster the programming. Let's bolster this, the opportunities for counseling and things out there to help people get better. It's a deeper thing than just like, oh, my friend liked weed, and then all of a sudden he was robbing banks for crack money. No, that's not how it works. But we can be there for people to help them.
News is coming up next, and then when we return, we're going to be joined by our friend and colleague, Pat Kreitlow, from Up North News Radio, so stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can always join the conversation. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to ruin on a daily basis. Very excited to be joined by our civic media colleague and friend, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio, joining us from beautiful Lake Wissota. Good morning, Pat. How are you doing?
Good morning. Why the continued disparagement of Elon? What have you got against Nazis? I mean, they're just Nazis doing Nazi things and ruining everything that they touch. Never mind. I surrender the point. Hi, Jane.
Hello, Pat Kreitlow. How's it going up there?
It's wonderful. It's started off sunny, a little cloudy. It's been a weird weather week.
Did you guys get a bunch of rain last night?
Some parts of the area did. We got a little bit here. We were kind of on the edge of a system, but yeah, we've definitely been on that roller coaster of it gets kind of hot and humid, and then a line of thunderstorms moves through. And I mean, nobody's talking about a drought anymore like we were last year.
That's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure. We're going to start off with Donald Trump is going to be in Racine today. He is stopping at Festival Hall. So if you are in downtown Racine, it's going to be busy and you may want to avoid it if you're not going to be attending. And I'm glad it's indoors because I was initially thought that it was going to be outdoors. It's too hot for people to be standing in line. So the doors at Festival Hall opening at 11 this morning with the former president and now convicted felon Donald Trump expected to speak at 3 p.m. But I wanted to share this because the Wisconsin Democrats have come out with a little statement on the former president's stop in Racine. Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Ben Wickler out with the following statement. Quote, today, Donald Trump returns to the scene of his Foxconn failure for the first time since 2018 when he stuck a golden shovel in the dirt and promised Wisconsinites the eighth wonder of the world. Trump's Foxconn boondoggle saw the largest attempted government handout to a foreign company in American history, reflecting perfectly what the MAGA party is all about. Sweetheart deals for wealthy special interests at the expense of everyone else. And Greg looked up the other wonders of the world just for fun. So because Foxconn was going to be the eighth wonder of the world. So Let's talk about some of the other wonders.
The great, I wish I had reverb right now. The Great Wall of China.
That's a great wonder.
Yep.
The
yep.
Taj Mahal.
Another yep, pretty wonderful.
Checks out.
Christ the Redeemer.
That's the big statue yeah. in Brazil.
Machu right. Picchu.
Oh, yeah.
The Great Definitely. Pyramid of Giza.
I've seen it.
It's and pretty, yeah. somewhere on the list, Foxconn in Racine, Wisconsin.
Which, if Trump were being honest, it would be the ninth wonder, because the eighth, of course, is Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, yes. You know, yes. You're absolutely
which is
right.
worth $1 trillion. Unless it's coming to my tax bill, then it's worth, you know, $1.98.
So, yeah, exactly.
Why wouldn't the statement, I don't take any issue with Ben Wickler, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, whatsoever, but I would put out a press release simply noting he's returning to Foxconn, and the statement would be, how'd that work out?
I just find
how'd that work out for you, buddy?
Yeah,
not
right.
so well. Not so well.
And it is interesting that he picked that spot to yes, come. I mean, last time he was in here in Waukesha in May, which
yep,
makes
friendly
more
confines.
Right, exactly, which makes more sense to me. Why would he stop in Racine?
Though I would challenge anybody, as I forced myself to do last week, go read the transcript of Trump's appearance in Waukesha. Don't look at the videos. Don't look at clips. Read the transcript. And if you didn't know it was Donald Trump, tell me you would vote for this person for dog catcher, basically. I mean, it is the crazy Uncle Thanksgiving rant, you know, right there on paper. And he's going to come down and do the same greatest hits. And the thing that I've cautioned people the most about this trip is Donald Trump couldn't resist. He couldn't resist because it's a failure on his and people were poking fun at him. So he has to come back and throw some punches. He's going to lie. He's going to lie about Foxconn. He's going to lie about why it was thwarted. It'll be something about Tony Evers or the legislature or Tammy Baldwin. And I just urge any media down there today, do not just parrot what he says. Don't say Trump claims that, you know, they made Foxconn fail because they were upset with Trump. No, don't let him get away with that today.
Well, and as I think you've said it before on your show, Pat, media, you're not stenographers.
No.
You're not supposed to be just a stenographer. You are supposed to fact check these things before you pass them on. That should kind of be your duty as a journalist, right?
And if you do a little bit of legwork ahead of time, and you should, you know, you shouldn't say, well, I was on deadline, so I'm just putting out what he said. It should be easy enough for you to say, you know, Trump falsely claimed blah, 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 or, you know, clarify the record in your next sentence. It shouldn't be hard, especially in something like this, where, again, the Foxconn record is clear, and it's clear what Governor Evers did once he took office in getting the package renegotiated. And making sure that people understand nobody was rooting for Foxconn to fail. The point was that they were overpromising and everybody knew it. And then we were putting way too much money into it. Now there are jobs there. That's a good thing.
Yes.
There's investment. That's a good thing. But don't tell us it's going to be the eighth wonder of the world when it's going to be like so many other good but not life-changing economic development plans that we see around Wisconsin and everywhere.
Well, and I go back to the fact that Foxconn had a terrible reputation around
right.
the world. And even
right.
here
That's
in the
U.S.
That's
why there was the skepticism.
Exactly. I mean, even here in the U.S., they tried this in a couple other states and made all of these grandiose promises, and this is what we're going to do. And then they pull out at the last minute, and the whole thing falls mm-hmm. apart after the community has made this enormous investment. So the short-sightedness of Scott Walker and Robin Voss and the Republican-held legislature here in Wisconsin on jumping up and down on this is just baffling to me.
But it was such it was some folks recognized at the time, a political Hail Mary. They knew which way the winds were blowing on this thing. And so they came in all set to do what they do, which is overpromise, but before they underdeliver, they have enough people believing in the promise, in the potential of the promise. And the people who really did, who I think haven't paid nearly enough of a price, are the legislators from outside of Southeast Wisconsin, folks from Central Wisconsin, Western Wisconsin, folks from here up north, who basically voted to send some of their road aid money down to Racine County because, you know, they need it for this eighth wonder of the world that's
right.
going on.
Right.
And not nearly enough were they challenged by their constituents back home saying, you did what? And thankfully, we didn't make that full investment because, again, Governor Evers won, was able to renegotiate it, and you ended up with a good economic development project and a governor in Tony Evers who did what we talked about back when Foxconn was first announced. How about instead of, you know, $3 billion in one place, how about a bunch of medium-sized investments in all 72 counties?
Yeah.
That's what Tony Evers has done.
You know, someone... Joe on the live stream here brought up something very funny about tonight's or today's rally event, whatever you want to call it. He says that after the whole thing is done, it's going to be 20,000 patriots attend Racine rally for Trump. And funny thing is, it's not really off because he just went to Detroit, a black church in Detroit with, as we could see in the video, not a lot of black people there. And they said how many?
Kellyanne Conway went on Faux News and said there were 8,000 people in this church.
Yes, and they do because again that they know enough people will believe it, and they don't. They can always say to the other ones, "Oh, that's fake news," and their followers will laugh and believe them. When I just got done watching a fact check of Trump's speech in that church, where he spoke at length about making record investments in historic black colleges and universities.
No, that was Joe Biden.
Yeah, the record is clear that he sought reductions in every one of his budgets, and Congress put the money back in. That's the only reason there was any kind of an increase. This is what he does.
Yeah.
This is what he does. And he's going to do it in Racine. It's always a different subject every time. But each transition between sections will then be riddled with, you know, those vermin immigrants. I mean, again, looking through the Waukesha, he just kept coming back to that like a dog that just won't let go of the bone. It always is just centered on, you know, that kind of...
The othering.
Yeah, xenophobia, that kind of jingoism that, again, sits well with some people. But I say again, I don't know how he thinks he's winning over any new moderate voters. He's only hoping that there are even more far right wing people who've never voted who are going to turn out this year that didn't turn out the first two times Trump was on the ballot.
Well, that's one of the things I find very amusing about this whole, you know, horrible gate. I just called it that. No one else is. is, you know, they're clamoring to justify the words or deny the words or, you know, he said it because of this, or he didn't say it at all, or all these things. When really, if he has no problem calling immigrants vermin, I don't really think it's off-brand for him to call Milwaukee horrible and not stand up proudly on some dais and say, yeah, I said that, because the people who vote for him think Milwaukee's horrible. The people who support him around him and as day-to-day think Milwaukee is horrible. So this whole thing of, like, he has no problem saying horrible things about people, but then all of a sudden he does say this about Milwaukee, and there's like, no, we can't say it. Why? Who do you think you're going to change their mind in Milwaukee? If people in Milwaukee are going to vote for you, they're going to vote for you. If they're not going to vote for you, they're not going to, this is not the make or break for the city.
Right.
Remember, it's easy for anybody to disparage cities and urban areas. You wouldn't dare hear a Democrat trashing, you know, farm life or rural America or something. But I promise you, Donald Trump thinks if you're listening in any small community right now, any rural county right now, he thinks you're a rube. He does. There's just no denying it. But he knows that you can't say, but you can trash, quote, urban, you know, areas and people who live there all day long. Mm-hmm. That's just where we are in the culture these days.
If you're just joining us, our friend and colleague Pat Kreitlow is our guest with Up North News, Wisconsin. You can catch him every weekday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. He's got the very early shift. I think you made a really good point, too, Pat, about reading the transcripts of Donald Trump's speeches. And I've said this to numerous people. You need to read it and to really appreciate the word salading that goes on.
Yes. And look, folks are having fun with the notion that, you know, he was bragging about taking a cognitive test and Joe Biden ought to. And then he got his doctor's name wrong. And while anybody conceivably could mix up, you know, Johnson versus Jackson, It's that you're making that mistake while making that point when most of us, if you're ever going to be careful and choose your words carefully, but when you've got just this, you know, gibberish that's coming out, that's just spewing, and all the time he's saying, look, I don't need a teleprompter, when in fact, you know, there's always a teleprompter for him to come back to. He freezes up when there's no, you know, teleprompter there for him. But if you read it, or if you listen to a long enough segment of it, you understand that this is a 78-year-old man who is slipping, but is slipping not in a way that, say, you know, as you get older, you get kinder, you want to leave the world in a better place. You instead go down the megalomania route and want to consume it all before you go. Burn it all down before you go because, you know, you'll be gone. So get what's yours while you can. That's been his mentality all of his life. Why would it change now?
I think I said it to you last week, Pat, that I was watching some clips of him do campaign events from 2016, and you watch him like, man, he's charming. Because 8 years ago, he's 70 years old. He's not as surrounded in that political bubble that he is now. He's not worshipped and idolized. And he while he's saying terrible things, he's doing it in a way where you're like, I understand why people find this charming, versus now where it's just like, I just feel like he's yelling at everybody all the time.
And he's unhinged.
He's unhinged.
There's nothing new or different or fresh anymore about this guy.
Well, we're going to come back and play a little clip of Stephen Colbert checking in on horrible Milwaukee. What a terrible city. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just as they threw stones at us as we boarded a bus in Milwaukee. Man, I was mad. In a way, I was glad, because I had all I could take.
Another round, and wherever drinks are free. What's made Milwaukee famous has made a fool out of me.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in steamy downtown Waukesha. Stay cool today. Check on your neighbors. Take care of your pets. If you want to join the show, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We're joined by our friend and colleague, Pat Kreitlow, with Up North News Radio. You can catch him weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m. Donald Trump, this makes me laugh, Pat, because, no, I didn't say it. Yes, he said it. No, wait, he didn't say it. Oh, he did, but he meant this. No, he meant this. No, it's like, he said that was horrible. Donald Trump said Milwaukee was horrible. I believe that.
Yeah.
And as Greg said, too, that there are a lot of people, a lot of Republicans who would agree with him.
Yeah. Right. I mean, just go ahead and own it, because that was always going to be the model. When we heard they were coming to Milwaukee and considering Milwaukee, some of us from the get-go said, oh, I see where this is going.
Yep.
You know, it starts with, oh, we love it. And at the slightest bit of either something criminal happens, something violent happens, if the protests get to be a bit much, whatever excuse they can find, and they will find one.
Oh, yes.
Is to say, oh, we never should have come here. Oh, this is a hellhole. Oh, it's a good thing that we're doing things that would, and then essentially put in language that echoes Wisconsin's legislative Republicans who live and breathe to punish Milwaukee.
Yes.
To make Milwaukee and its residents and its taxpayers and its business climate suffer, because they have so artificially exacerbated the divide between city residents and rural residents in Wisconsin. And I do mean that artificially.
We are not
that divided.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's by design. Yep.
But by doing that and exacerbating it, they know that they are playing to a particular crowd of voters. Now, they also know that they're losing a lot of these non-Milwaukee voters, the ones who live in the suburbs, and frankly, many who are living in the rural areas now. They're seeing, you know, Joe Biden investing in infrastructure in rural Wisconsin and in, you know, a whole new generation of you know, clean energy manufacturing jobs and things like that. And they're going to keep going back to the well of, you know, dunking on Milwaukee, but it's just not going to work the way that it might have in cycles past.
Stephen Colbert on on his show addressed this a little bit now, and do the setup for this, Greg, because what, 4 years ago?
4 years ago when the DNC was coming to town, and he actually explains in the clip too, but he did a little video about Milwaukee that was not based in jokes. It was pretty mean. I was actually upset about it, and I tweeted at him like, hey man, this is not your brand of comedy.
You were not alone.
Yeah.
But he addressed the horrible Milwaukee comments, so yeah. Let's take a listen to Stephen Colbert.
The big headline coming out of Trump's Capitol Hill meeting is that he called Milwaukee, where the Republicans are hosting their nominating convention this summer, a horrible city. This man is about to be in a world of deep-fried hurt. I know from personal experience, you do not mess with Milwaukee. In 2020, you remember this. In 2020, the Democratic convention was there. I made a few innocent jokes about it. And 4 years later, I'm still legally barred from buying bratwursts. Milwaukeeans were so angry that to make amends, I flew there for a formal apology tour. I participated in the Brewers' famed sausage race where I lost to a six-year-old girl and then apologized to a stadium full of 40,000 people who I'm pretty sure did not accept the apology. I learned my lesson the hard way, and I have since learned to appreciate Milwaukee, the eternal city, the Paris of Wisconsin. Suck it, Sheboygan. And what a beautiful name, Milwaukee. Some say it's from the Algonquin for the good land. Others say Milwaukee is Potawatomi for cholesterol. I believe that every city in America were destroyed tomorrow except Milwaukee, the Republic would still roll on because Milwaukee is America. As Thomas Jefferson himself once said, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated. Thank you for your service, Milwaukee. America loves you.
Thank you, Stephen Colbert.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Now, that's a guy who can learn from his mistakes and say, okay, maybe I went too far, something you'll never hear from Donald J. Trump.
That's absolutely true. Someone you'll also probably never hear, oops, I made a mistake from, is our senior senator, Ron Johnson.
I hate that we have to call him senior senator.
Yeah, he also is still railing about he wants the protest area around the RNC to be moved further away and says that the Secret Service is digging in their heels. And I don't know, he just, one way to keep it safer wouldn't allow them to have guns.
Well, that would be one
my
way.
My thought. But no,
I give Ron Johnson a lot of credit. I think he showed tremendous restraint in that he did not say what he was thinking. At no point did he use the term the great unwashed or whatever term he was going to use to describe you people or those people who were going to come and exercise their First Amendment right to protest, which, again, from having Dr. Kristen Lierley on earlier this morning in OBGYN, there's a collective feeling of, oh, don't even, because these are the folks that love a protest zone that goes right up to the door of a reproductive health clinic so that we can jeer women facing terrible health crises and terrible personal decisions. But we want to be close enough to spit on them. But, you know, if somebody wants to protest our convention, could we put that in Sheboygan? Could they protest there? Is what they would do if they could. And that's exactly what Ron Johnson meant, which is, you know, hypocrisy writ large.
And as you said, the irony that, again, there, the anti-abortion, the pro-life people have every right to protest, to peacefully protest and scream at women as they are going to get health care. But we're well-paid politicians, and we're very sensitive, and we need you to be a little further away and just be nice to us.
And you can't bring your tennis ball.
and they've set themselves up well now, because the zone, wherever it is now, again, if anything goes untoward in there, which might include people that, you know, they pay to do that, they say Democrats are going to, maybe they will. Anything goes, they can say, we never should have come to Milwaukee. It's all so predictable. And just everybody be careful.
Yes, be careful. And don't forget, Scott Walker took a phone call from people claiming to be the Koch brothers who talked about planting some agitators. That's not outside the realm of possibility, as horrifying as that prospect is.
Yep. Don't take the bait. There's enough to say without that.
Absolutely. Pat Kreitlow, Up North News Radio. Make sure you listen to him weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m. across Civic Media. Thank you so much, Pat. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Great to see you, Amory. Talk to you again soon.
You bet. News is coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
What's made Milwaukee famous has made a loser out of me. What's made Milwaukee famous has made a loser.